And hot on Tuesday with a high around 97. Currently, it's partly cloudy and 97 degrees in San Antonio. I'm Steve Short. That's Texas Public Radio News on KSTX.
Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Texans love high school football, and high school football stars are treated like royalty in some quarters. So there is a concern that teens who will fall to the temptation to be bigger, stronger, and faster by taking steroids. Texas has a program that will test the players, but that program is being looked at to be discontinued due to budget cuts and a lack of positive results. Others say the testing is broken and the state is ignoring the problem. What do you think? We want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Have you ever taken one of these tests in high school to see if you've taken steroids? Have you ever seen anyone in your use these steroids? What kind of results happened? We want to hear from you. 210-614-8980. You could also go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. Now, joining us to talk about high school steroid abuse is Don Hooten, the president of the Taylor Hooten Foundation. Don Hooten, welcome to The Source.
Great to be here, David. Thanks for having me.
Now, Don, I know that your foundation was created after the loss of your son, and I grieve for the loss of your son. That was so. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, back in 2003, our youngest son Taylor committed suicide, and he was a high school baseball player, carrying a 3.8 grade average, very very popular kid, and we were struggling to figure out, you know, just why this young man would have taken his life. And the long and short of the story is we learned that Taylor had been using anabolic steroids, injecting himself with anabolic steroids for about a period of 7 months. And we also learned that about half of the boys on his high school baseball team were doing the same thing. And, you know, one of the classical side effects of anabolic steroid use is a severe depression. It's right out of the medical textbooks. And in this case, that depression was strong enough to wind up with Taylor making a decision to end it all.
So you began a campaign to raise awareness about the use of steroids in high school athletics. You took it to the state legislature, and they eventually passed a law. What happened?
Well, got a call from Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst. We actually didn't initiate it. Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst was interested in this problem and had multiple meetings with him. And there are basically two weapons that we have in our arsenal to fight this battle, education and testing. And we worked with Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst and UIL to support and implement a statewide program for testing young people for the presence of performance-enhancing drugs. It's important to note the primary purpose of the program was to deter young people from getting involved in this stuff, thinking that if there was a reasonable chance that they could get caught, that maybe they wouldn't start using these drugs in the first place.
Okay, our phone lines are open, and you can call in. We've got a question or a comment. We want to hear from you. We're talking about steroid use in high school. How bad is this problem and what the state is doing about it? There is a testing program in play now, but it could go away. The number is 210-614-8980. Miguel has called in. Miguel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yes, I know from personal experience my children in high school reported to me that they had heard through their high school grapevine that the footballers, football players, didn't seem to be tested, or at least were not tested to the same degree that other athletes were. And so my question is, I'm wondering if the reason why there seem to be no positive results, which seems absolutely incredible to me, may have something to do with selective testing, to protect certain classes of athletes from being being found out.
To protect the football players.
Right, because according to the high schoolers, they're convinced that some of these guys are on steroids, and that they're just not getting tested.
Okay, Miguel, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your input on that. So, Don Hooten, are high school football players, do they get a pass?
We've heard that. I have nothing substantive other than anecdotal stories of the sort that we just heard. I'm certain that that is going on in some quarters, but I believe the primary reason that we haven't caught hardly any of our kids doing this is the way the testing was structured. And I don't want to bore your listeners with too much detail. Let me just see if I can illustrate it this way. There are over 120 different types of anabolic steroids. Each one has a different chemical makeup and has to be tested for uniquely. You have to program the machine to look for 120 different types of steroids. Well, here in the state of Texas, in order to save money or not to spend too much money, when the program was first initiated, we were testing for only 10 different types of steroids. Now, you don't have to be a math major to figure out that the kids had way less than a 1 in 10 chance of getting caught based on the fact that we were testing for so few steroids, number one. Number two, in working with the DEA, we have learned that most of the steroids that are being sold on the street are not part of that 120 different types of steroids, and they're designed so as not to be picked up on a steroid test. So, you know, the further you dig into how the program was put together, even though it was expensive, it wasn't as expensive as it should have been if we were going to do this thing properly. I just ask your listeners to think back to cases like Lance Armstrong, who claims he was able to pass over 500 different tests before he ever tested positive. It's simply to point out that in the case of anabolic steroids with very little sophistication, it is relatively easy to beat these tests and almost impossible for these kids to be caught.
Right. It's easy to stay one step ahead of someone when they're not chasing you. Looking at the numbers, the breakdown of the numbers of people who were tested last year in Texas, there were 2,633 tests across the state. Of those, 1,112 were for football. So that was the highest category of the testing. But again, there was not a single positive across the state as Texas did this testing program. It is a program that costs about $500,000 a year, and it is being subjected to Sunset Commission review, and the Sunset Commission has said it's a program that we could probably do without. Do you think Texas needs to get serious about steroid testing? Not only are athletes doing it, but also most of the steroid abuse in high school is being done for appearance, for cosmetic use, to look bulked up, even if you don't work out. And these drugs are being sold on the street. So give us a call. We want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. Listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the use of steroids in high school for athletes and for people who just want to look like an athlete. They can find these drugs. Apparently, it's not that hard to find. With us today is Don Hooten. He's the president of the Taylor Hooten Foundation, a foundation that he created in memory of his son, who died in Texas. He was a high school baseball player, and he died after depression-related steroid use. Let's go to the phone lines, and we invite you to join the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, and John has called in. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for having me. First off, I'd like to say, Mr. Hooten, I'm very sorry for your loss. I watched a program called Bigger, Stronger, Faster, The Side Effect of Being American. He was actually interviewed in the show, very knowledgeable movie, or documentary, rather, about steroid use. The reason I'm calling is, while I was in high school, I didn't use steroids, but I used steroids after the fact. I also learned what I was doing before I took them, and a lot of it is knowledge-based. You know, before the age of 25 or so, the male body produces enough testosterone to where you don't need steroids or anything extra androgen-related. If you start taking that stuff before, your body stops producing it, your hormones get out of balance. And I mean, all the way up until, like I said, we're 25 or so, males were still trying to balance out our hormone levels all across the board. So yes, I think in high school, the state of Texas does need to do testing. I don't know how they should go about doing it, but I would look for signs. Like I said, I've used steroids. Depression happens in pretty much everybody. The people who are already depressed, if they do start taking steroids, you will tend to see more depression symptoms. But as far as like the homicidal rages and everything, I've never seen that happen. And I've been lifting for 7 years consistently. And I know people who currently use, and it's all about knowing what you're getting yourself into before you do it. But like I said, for any listener who's under the age of 25, please, by all means, know what you're getting yourself into before you start taking anabolics.
So you're saying if you start using this stuff before you're 25, that you can really throw your body out of whack.
Right. And it all depends on the individual themselves. Me personally, body didn't get too much out of whack, but then again, it's a case-by-case basis. I mean,
still,
my body produces...
Probably just not a good idea to go down that road. John, thank you for your call. We sure do appreciate it. So, Don Hooten, you heard from John. Do you think we have a casual attitude in the general population about steroids that the people who are doing this, they say, I know what I'm doing. You know, this is not going to, kill me.
Absolutely right. And the kids, you know, first of all, I appreciate what John was saying. He's absolutely right. Whether it's the serious bodybuilders or the medical doctors agree that a young person, especially the boys that are in or just coming out of puberty, their systems are out of whack enough to start throwing additional male hormones at it. You know, it's really playing Russian roulette. But the thing that I want our listeners also to remember is these are illegal drugs. These are Schedule III controlled substances. Just like Vicodin or hydrocodone, your kids can get arrested if you get caught with this stuff. So, you know, it's, you know, while I agree with John, you know, you really need to know what you're doing before you fool with the stuff. You know, even for the bodybuilders that think they know what they're doing, there are still some serious long-term side effects. Physical, for example, the cardiovascular system in particular is under heavy attack. But regardless, they are illegal. And if we've got a community that feels very strongly that it's okay if you're an adult to use these drugs, then we ought to be going to the state legislature to have our laws changed because they are illegal.
Well, what's the difference between that and the testosterone that's being advertised everywhere for men that are feeling low T?
Well, they're basically, you know, one and the same. The difference being that the doctor is prescribing and supervising the testosterone in these clinics. Now, my problem with those is that it sends a very, very confusing message to kids in that if it's okay for, you know, you see these guys on TV rubbing the testosterone on the armpits or, you know, the various ways to take this stuff, it's very, very difficult for a dad who's using testosterone to turn around and explain to their 17-year-old football player in high school that it's okay for me, but it's not okay for you. It's a very, very confusing message. But by the way, those clinics, when steroids are issued there, come with the same warnings that steroids do about heart problems and mood swings and kidney damage and liver damage and a whole bunch of other side effects. In fact, if you notice, there's already a group of lawyers that are advertising on TV and soliciting men that have been to these low-T clinics and had side effects. You know, the fury has already begun.
So we're talking with Don Hooten. He's the founder of the Taylor Hooten Foundation. He advocates for fighting steroid abuse in Texas high schools and particularly among athletes. So, Don, what about the penalties? Okay, say that they did find a positive on a kid. They didn't last year, but what kind of penalty would a violator have?
Well, to be honest, I don't have a real working knowledge of the penalties that are being issued here at the high school level. As far as my opinion goes, a young person, or whether it's an amateur athlete or a professional athlete, should have to sit out for a significant period of time. I think we all know what the different penalties are in the NFL or in Major League Baseball, in the Olympics, to sit out for 2 years, and there's a move to sit out for 4 years if you get caught cheating using performance-enhancing drugs. So these kids ought to be facing, a significant penalty if they get caught using this stuff. But as we've already discussed, the odds of catching these kids are pretty remote, and I think that's been accurately reflected in the number of positive tests, or lack thereof, that we've had here in Texas.
Well, according to my research, in Texas, penalties for positive testing are relatively mild, usually just a few weeks suspension for the first offense, the same penalty for using a recreational drug. In contrast, college athletes caught using steroids for the first time lose a year of eligibility. So looking at national figures across the country, we are seeing a spike in the use of steroids. But in Texas, I mean, it doesn't make any sense, Don. Why are they coming up clean?
Well, Dave, I'm so glad you bring that point out. The most recent national numbers that are out show that steroid usage rates amongst high school students are the highest they've ever been. And they're at 7%. That's 7% of our young people on a national survey that admit to using anabolic steroids. And if you think that's bad, we were shocked. I'm not shocked by much anymore, but the most recent numbers show that 11% of high school students admit to using HGH, or human growth hormone. That's the drug du jour, the drug of choice. And here in the state of Texas, usage, whatever it is, we would have no idea, because in our state testing program, HGH is not on the list of substances that are tested for at all. And
so let me go over that again. That's critical. The most commonly used steroid in high school across the country, and use is spiking, is this HGH, human growth hormone. And here in Texas, this program that we spend $500,000 a year on, they don't even look for this particular drug. And then we see that all these tests have come up negative. There are no one's showing up as a steroid user in Texas. So, I mean, it seems like, are they really looking?
Well, they're really trying to give the appearance of looking. And as a public policy advocate, you know, my problem with it, and it's implicit in the way you just expressed the question, is that there are those who have a vested interest in leading the public to believe that we don't have a performance-enhancing drug problem in our schools. Whether it's coaches, athletic directors, school superintendents, and without a strong working knowledge of this particular subject, I would probably be among those that would be led to believe, hey guys, you tested 5 guys in my high school last year. Nobody tested positive. Therefore, that means we don't have a steroid problem in our school or in our school district.
Right. So, I mean, you're breaking up a little bit. So let me summarize what you said, that there are people who are definitely interested in trying to keep this problem, you know, not highlight this issue when they're willing to say, hey, we don't have a problem. Look, we got no positives. And now we're looking at, in Austin, the effort to totally kill the program. Why spend $500,000 a year looking for a problem that we don't want to find? Let's just kill the program altogether, Don.
That's exactly right.
So where do you go from here? Are you up in Austin raising heck? Don Hooten, thank you so much. He's the founder of the Taylor Hooten Foundation, a foundation that he founded after the loss of his son to abusive steroids in high school. He was a Texas high school baseball player. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.